The Jewish view of beauty requires that something must endure in order to be called beautiful. That it must reflect the lessons and the lines and the wrinkles of the passage of time and the wisdom that comes with that.
This is Rise and Shine, a podcast that offers timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations to fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note. Here is Adrienne Gold Davis.
When I was a little girl, I clearly remember the sound of the clanging bell of the knife repairman. He used to ride up and down our street on his bike, and he'd have a little trailer behind it, and it would hold his sharpening stone and some other equipment. And my mom, she would send us outside, maybe with a knife or a pair of scissors that needed sharpening. You see, we knew his name, and we knew about his family, and in many ways, he sort of became part of ours. As did, by the way, the mailman and the greengrocer and all of the people whose service and repairability we used to use on the daily. Now, in those years, my father, he was a TV repairman himself. I can remember the phone ringing during dinner because someone on our street couldn't get a picture or lost volume or, heaven forbid, couldn't use their remote control. And I remember my mother, she'd get annoyed. We were being disturbed during dinner. But my father, he always had this easy acceptance because someone needed something. And he was the man who could do it. And for a neighbor, well, anything went. In those days, the men on our street would get together. They would help finish a rec room basement, those old paneled monstrosities. Do you remember? And they would drive each other's kids to morning activities or to hockey practice. But my dad, he could fix a television and a radio. And in the late 60s, that was akin to having a pair of golden hands and the position of best neighbor. I remember being so proud of him. So this morning, I went to cut a slice of bread, and I discovered that my knife wasn't sharp anymore. So what did I do? I walked to the end of our street where Dollarama, which is the Canadian dollar store, was, and I purchased a new one. It was $1.99, and it was more than suitable to do the job as a bread knife. And on my way back, I paused, and I thought, when did we stop fixing things? Is it less expensive, truly, to buy a new plasma TV than to bother fixing it? Is it simpler to replace your phone than to repair it, and sometimes about the same price if you buy it used? You know, today, we live in a disposable world, and we seem to have lost the capacity or even the interest to repair things. We simply replace them. And in the process, I believe we have lost some of our resilience and our spine. It costs about $1,000 to recover a sofa and about $1,000 to buy a new one. And yet, we all want it new. We want it shiny. We want it fresh. And it's no wonder we're a nation of landfills. The Japanese have a concept of aesthetics called wabi-sabi. Wikipedia describes it like this. In traditional Japanese aesthetics, wabi-sabi is a worldview that's centered on the acceptance of transience and imperfection. The aesthetic is sometimes described as one of beauty that is imperfect and impermanent and incomplete. In addition, there's an art form called kintsugi. It's the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery by mending the areas of breakage with a lacquer that's dusted and mixed with powdered gold, silver, and sometimes even platinum. In short, it's the celebration of the repair itself, and even an enhancement of the place where the fracture happened. It also makes a statement that after a repair, particularly when it's done with powdered gold, that the object is more valuable and beautiful because of the wear and tear and not in spite of it. In Jewish philosophy, we see this principle played out in the etymology of the word that the Torah uses for beautiful, which is in Hebrew, hadar. Hadar essentially means something that dwells, much like durer in the French or endure in the English. Hadar reflects that the Jewish view of beauty requires that something must endure in order to be called beautiful, that it must reflect the lessons and the lines and the wrinkles of the passage of time and the wisdom that comes with that. We see it repeatedly in many statements from the Torah. One of them is generally said that you must honor the face of the old person. The word hadar, which is used in that case, literally means beauty. So what this verse is actually telling us is to ascribe beauty to the old face. We are meant to see the wear and tear of life as a kind of badge of honor, not something to fear or shrink away from. Today, youth is one of the precursors to beauty, and certainly it's a currency in our culture. But this, my friends, is not the Jewish way. How can we apply the work of Kintsugi to our lives, to our marriages, to our friendships and our relationships? While relationship replacement might be simpler and sometimes cost less, the act of disposable relationships ends up costing us so much more. Can we seek out a broken or fractured relationship in our family of origin? The sister, a brother, a parent that you might just try a little harder with, have a bit more patience for? Accept the boundaries and limitations of these relationships because certainly they're not all ideal or even pleasurable. But instead of railing against what's likely not going to change or speaking words that won't be heard, can we instead just work to have them endure, to dwell within them, to not cut off and throw out, but to repair sometimes time and time and time again? There's a gorgeous idea that we can see relationships like ropes. When a rope is severed, one can only knot it to put it back together. And while it will never look the same as it did before it was cut, interestingly, when you knot it at the place of breakage, then both ends of the rope end up being closer together. Instead of seeking out replacement relationships, can we work harder on embracing the imperfections and vulnerabilities that are inherent in all of them? And maybe even sprinkle a little bit of powdered love gold into the glue we use to repair them? I think I'm going to take that knife back to the store and get my $1.99 back. I just read something. You can sharpen a knife on the underside of a mug if it's ceramic, and it works like a charm. And it's a good thing that mug I'm going to use came from the dollar store.
Thanks for listening to Rise and Shine. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Momentum Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join Adrian again next time for more timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations that fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note.
You're listening to a Momentum Podcast. For unlimited inspiration, wisdom, and empowerment, visit MomentumUnlimited.org.